This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
You want the good news, the bad news, or what's really buzzing around the nation right now? I think you want all three. So I'm going to give it to you. That's what we talk about here on this show. Thanks for hanging with us. And thanks to all the fabulous program directors out there who take America tonight. We appreciate your support. And there are some wonderful, wonderful, wonderful affiliates. We'll be talking about them over the next couple of weeks. In fact, if you're listening to me and something fantastic is happening in your neighborhood, send it to me, americatonightradio.com, americatonightradio.com. For example, if you're listening to me right now in Huntsville, Alabama on WTKI, who's the hero in your neighborhood? Did somebody do something that was worthy of making them the daily salute? I know there are many stories out there. How about our fans and friends on WSRQ in Sarasota, Florida? I'm coming down to Sarasota, Florida for a speech in July, and I can't wait to meet many of you. But if there's something you want to say and you got a question, just throw it at me. AmericaTonightRadio.com, AmericaTonightRadio.com, or in the New York area, WVNJ, send it to me. Just don't ask me about the Yankees. Are they going to win the World Series? We're not even at the halfway point yet. Every time I open that can of worms up for New Yorkers, that's what they ask. All right, it's not about baseball, although if you enjoy baseball, hopefully you get a chance to go out to one of the ballparks and your local ballpark and get a chance to do that. But on a serious note, there is a lot of conversation about North Korea. People are concerned about whether or not the Prez is going to have that meeting with Kim Jong-un. Why? It's unprecedented, too, because we know that it seems like, anyway, with the tests of the launches that Kim Jong-un has had in the last couple of years, that there is a chance that they could reach the United States, and there's a big concern about that, that's for sure. Speaking of concern, are you for the tariffs or against the tariffs? If you're listening to me and you run a multi-million-dollar business where you deal with O Canada and the European Union, you might not like the whole tariff deal. President Trump blamed Canada for the burning of the White House in the War of 1812, in the middle of the war over tariffs, during a call with Justin Pretty Boy Trudeau, the Canadian Prime Minister, to talk about the administration's tariffs in Canadian steel and aluminum. That's where the imports are there. And, you know, he made a joke. When he asked if Trudeau took it as a joke, supposedly, they said to the degree one can ever take what is said as a joke, whatever that meant. But the president was referring to 1814. Can you hear that conversation? Hey, you burned us down, so now what are you trying to do to us? I think it's kind of funny. I would love to have known the context of that. I would have loved to know that. So, by the way, the Trump administration's 25% tariff on steel, 10% on aluminum. Trudeau intends to hit the U.S. with a 25% steel tariff, 10% tariff on consumer goods from the U.S. So that's not good because there is a lot of to and fro. There are some people who are running corporations that you're going to be affected by this. And how does that trickle down to the consumer? You could feel it in the prices depending on how long this goes on, depending on how long that is, right? How about this? Because we live in the phone sphere, that's our era. Everybody's on a phone. If you don't have a phone, I don't know. Who are you? I mean, seriously, everybody has some kind of device. It's crazy. So the CEO of a small wireless carrier that offers consumers an alternative to the major cell phone companies that charges a fortune say that AT&T refused to run its ads on AT&T DirecTV service as a way to suppress competition with the telecom giant's own wireless service. AT&T is fighting an antitrust suit, did you know that, brought by the Department of Justice, that wants to halt its $85 billion acquisition of, this could be a trivia question, Time Warner. And they now say it's changed the policy that kept Mint Mobile's ads off its pay TV service. Look, it's like a crazy game of checkers. Everybody's throwing the pieces in different directions. I feel I'm at Discovery, and there are five-year-olds playing with me, and they are throwing the pieces right at me. So they're talking about this ad buy that was blocked, and it was $500,000 to $1 million because DirecTV didn't want to promote a competitor on the service. I guess they can do that, right? Can't they block it? Did they get the money? They did. There's going to be a lot of this ticky-tacky back and forth until they figure that out. Right? Definitely. Definitely, definitely. All right, if you were curious and you're a woman and you have one eye open because you're thinking you got to get up and run and then run the kids to school and then you're going off to work, Costco, Microsoft, Insight Global CEOs are among the best leaders for women, they say. How about that? That they are the best. That's pretty good praise to be rated that way. Talking about working for them, talking about how they treat the employees, like Costco is number one for large companies. Craig Jelinek is the CEO there. And then you mix in a few others like HubSpot, Brian Halligan. Hats off, Mr. Halligan, in Massachusetts. Supposedly a great place, too, for a woman to work and how they treat women. And do you think there would be a day where it's just like, you know what, we're just hiring the best person. We're all good. Everyone's good. We're not having a lot of issues with this. By the way, Apple was 20 on the list. Tim Cook, 20. But the list was pretty long, to be fair. It was a long, long, long list. Even Fred Smith was 21, and then you just go from there. Accenture in New York, Twitter in San Francisco. Best CEOs for women in 10 small to mid-sized companies. I'm just going to throw one out for fun, and maybe I'll give you two. Todd Olson in Pendo in Raleigh, North Carolina. That sounds interesting. And then there's also Noah Kerner in Irvine, California, and that's Acorns. Notice a lot of them are tech places because, of course, tech has exploded. So Twitter, Amazon, Fanatics, and then there's a variety of others. Google, LinkedIn, Adobe, Home Depot, Facebook, yeah. HCA Holdings. You get my drift. We're stepping aside. Gonna take a mulligan, and then we'll be back. What's your favorite ice cream? I'm just curious. Think about it. I'll give you 3 minutes. Kate Delaney, ATN.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-261-9818 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-261-9818. Again, 800-261-9818.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you a few from Amazon.com. By Mel. Great product. My husband and father-in-law use it regularly. Both my husband and father-in-law have had significant change in their blood pressure and overall health. By Amazon customers. It works for me. Return to buy the tincture and the capsules as they were on sale during February. Unlike some other products, this one worked for blood pressure and occasional irregular heartbeat. Extendivite produced noticeable results after just two bottles, a four-month supply. I take Extendivite three times a day, every day. I think this supplement has helped with my increased fitness regime and to lower my blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
If you know Kate Delaney, then you know that her lovable golden retriever, Mahalo, makes her world go around. So when Kate started looking for a high-quality dog food for him, she settled on Life's Abundance, the all-stage grain-free food. It's rated 5 stars by Dog Food Advisor, and that's a win. In fact, Kate loved the food so much that she's now repping the food at kateskibble.com. It's full of high-quality protein and nutrients, omega-3s and more. Kateskibble.com is just what Mahalo needs to be happy and healthy. Grab a bag at kateskibble.com.
Dedicate one to the ladies. Sometimes they're bad, need something to keep you cool. Now sometimes they're bad, need something to keep you cool. Better look out now, though. Dave's got something for you. Tell you what it is. I'm your ice cream man. Stop me when I'm passing by. Oh, my, my, I'm your ice cream man. Stop me when I'm passing by. See, now all my flavors are guaranteed to satisfy. Hold on a second, baby. I got to put my banana, Dixie cups, all flavors and push-ups, too. I'm your ice cream man, baby. Stop me when I'm passing by.
Ice cream, ice cream.
See, now all my flavors are
guaranteed. I don't know why. It's summer, it's hot, and I started reminiscing, thinking back to when I was a kid. When I was a kid, did I think I'd end up doing what I'm doing? No. I didn't. I wasn't worried about it. I was worried about the Good Humor Man, right? The Good Humor Man, to me, meant that I was probably... I was going to get a vanilla king cone, maybe a vanilla instead. One day I would get a vanilla... a giant vanilla sandwich, they called it, which was, you know, just, gosh, I don't even know what you call it, what a lot of people call it, but it's the wafers, and then you've got the ice cream in the middle of it, so an ice cream sandwich. And there were others, so I like the stickless bars, and, you know, that was kind of almost like a Reese's thing. I definitely liked the cones. Am I making you hungry? I liked the bars, the chocolate-covered bar. Oh, the chocolate-covered bar was so good. Oh, I can't eat any of that stuff now. Now I eat, like, handfuls of berries. So, Nathan, how about you? What kind of ice cream do you like?
Handfuls of berries. Isn't that true?
True.
I try to do smoothies more than I do ice cream, but... It still happens. I grew up in Vermont, and I remember the Schwann's guy being around.
Mm.
I don't really necessarily remember getting ice cream as much on the street. I remember the Orangesicles and Bomb Pops.
Oh, Bomb Pops. I love Bomb Pops. Yes.
Orangesicles, though. And Push.
Do you remember the
up ones?
Yeah, they were good. Do you remember the chocolate chip cookie sandwich? They always had those.
Chocolate
no?
chip, where it was like cookies on top and then ice cream.
It was, no, where it was like two cookies instead of the ice cream sandwich, where it was the dark, like chocolatey thing. Instead, yeah. It was chocolate chip cookies, and in between was the ice cream. That was pretty good.
Whoa.
I know, whoa. I can't even remember the last time I had ice cream. I can't.
I did last night, so.
You lucky. back to our berries. Anyway, I thought that would be kind of fun. What kind of ice cream do you like? You can play our silly little game. Just send it to me. And I'll send you a copy of my book. I really will. Invade the Man Cave or Level the Playing Field. AmericaTonightRadio.com. You can dive on the digits, as always. 855-266-5283. I did my own little unofficial survey. And I found that among a lot of the people I knew, they liked the Bomb Pops that Nathan mentioned. Because they like the pops. I mean, they like popsicles, and that's what they wanted when the good humor truck came around. I just remember hearing the bell. It's like we just knew it. It went round and round, and it just kept playing, and you knew. And it's like, psychologically, they had to, of course they did. They knew that they would get us that way, and of course, what parent is disagreeing? It's part of that whole ritual. I mean, I'm not saying every day, but certainly, they sent you out with your handfuls of cash, and they wanted something, and they told you to get something, and that's what would happen. And that's exactly what happened. I had an Aunt Agnes, and she would say, go ahead, run out and get whatever, and then bring her something back. And that kind of became a weekly thing that happened maybe once or twice a week, no more than twice a week. Oh, good days. See that? We weren't worried about being on any phones. Ugh, nobody had a phone. Not then. We didn't have a phone. Now they grow up with phones. My nephew, who is 16, and Owen and I have talked about him, and he was actually on the air last week, he has a phone for the first time, and he doesn't really even use it. He just texts on it. He's gotten good at texting. But one of the things I loved about him growing up is he never wanted a phone. He didn't pay attention to the phone. I mean, I just thought it was great. So we didn't have the issue of him constantly being on it constantly. Now, who knows? But I know this. When he flew to see me, he was not on JetBlue. JetBlue is joining a bunch of airlines that are making it harder for passengers to bring emotional support animals on board. JetBlue announced that starting July 11th, it's going to require the customers to submit forms from a veterinarian vouching for the animal's fitness and vaccinations. Customers will have to tell JetBlue 48 hours in advance if they'll be traveling with the support animal. They must accept liability if the animal hurts someone or damages property. And the liability clause is similar to the one at United Airlines. Because unlike service dogs, like guide dogs, support animals don't need special training. Airline pet fees are waived for support animals, and the numbers have soared, I guess, for these support animals. And it makes sense. I mean, if you need a support animal, you need a support animal. I have a friend who is blind, and she has a dog that that dog is her faithful companion. She can't go anywhere without the dog. But they're not saying dogs, because they're saying other animals. They're saying support animals. And it makes it, what are the support animals? Pet raccoons? I don't know. What are support animals? Elephants? I mean, of course, I'm joking. But what are they if they're not dogs? I thought this was a job exclusively assigned to golden retrievers or Labradors. I had no idea you could apply for this job if you were a squirrel. Perhaps if you were an armadillo. I don't know. It makes no sense to me. Emotional support. Can you imagine a bird? I got to bring my birds on this plane. Oh, Would we not all go crazy? Yeah, we'd go crazy is what would happen. Since we're kind of going in this direction anyway, I'm going to stay here for a second with the whole travel thing. American Airlines apologized after shredded suitcases were greeting some of the flyers at baggage claim. Oh, I can't even imagine. A perfect weekend getaway, and then you come back to Dallas, Fort Worth. You wait. Your bag doesn't come around. Then you start speculating what's going to happen. Oh, I hope someone didn't pick it up. Oh, my favorite things were in it. And then you find your bag is over in a corner. It's heaped in a bin. Half of the bags are in there with them, and they're destroyed. So, I guess what happened was the suitcase was shredded. Most of the clothes were shredded. There was black grease, toothpaste, all kinds of crazy things that must have exploded on it. And it was just ripped. And then this inside, of course, the belongings are gone. But there is kind of a lesson in this, I think. You know, American Airlines, when the American Airlines heard about the destroyed luggage, they did apologize, and they told her they were sending her a $3,500 check for the damages and a $300 travel voucher. Listen, we're going to give you thousands for the bag and the shreddedness and then a $300 travel voucher. But see, here's the thing. I mean, what do you have in there? How much are the clothes? Probably not $3,500, but maybe she had other things. I don't know. Apparently, American 2017 transported more than 160 million checked bags, and they occasionally get broke or damaged, but not that often. But the fact that it was shredded is just, I think, the craziest thing. The craziest thing. If you've ever lost a bag, you know what that's like. I lost a bag from Dallas to Miami. Oh, and they were, of course, they're going to take the bag to you, and they're going to deliver it at 3 in the morning. We have your bag. There's the good news. Please stay up, because we're going to deliver it to your doorstep at 3 a.m. Oh, really? If you can travel light and you can take your luggage on, that is the way to go, my friends. Because then you don't have to stop at baggage claim. You don't have to worry about your luggage. You don't have to pay the extra freight for it. Because almost every airline now, they do, unless you're a frequent flyer with some big status. Otherwise, you're usually paying something for the bag. Something. Going to introduce you to a really cool author in just a few moments in our virtual green room. Stay with us here on America Tonight.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King. President Trump is hoping for the best at the Singapore summit with North Korean leader Kim Jong-un. Here's more from USA's Rick Vincent.
President Trump and North Korean leader Kim Jong-un are both in Singapore for Tuesday's summit. Before their arrival, Singapore's Prime Minister Lee Hsien Loong said Singapore welcomes the chance to contribute to the region's nuclear security.
This meeting has the potential to set those developments on a new path, which were heading in a not very good direction for some time already.
During an impromptu news conference before leaving the G7, the president talked about his expectations for meetings with North Korea.
We're going in with a very positive attitude, and I think we're going to come out fine. But I've said it many times. Who knows? Who knows? May not work out.
For USA Radio News, I'm Rick Vincent.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Hey, travelers, do you want to save money on your next flight? Then pick up the phone and call. That's right, call, because the best prices are not online. They're with SmartFares. See, SmartFares has special deals with the airlines. When they have unsold seats, they use SmartFares to fill them. So you get airline tickets at ridiculously low prices. Our prices are too low to publish online. With the extra money you'll save, you can book another trip or treat yourself to dinner or shopping. So stop searching all of those travel sites to find the lowest price on your next flight. Let one of our SmartFares expert travel agents find ridiculously low prices for you. Call SmartFares today and get the best price on your next flight. Guaranteed. Also, save up to 50% off business and first class tickets.
800-871-3291. 800-871-3291. Again, that's 800-871-3291.
Hey everyone, Proactive MD has an incredible offer for our radio listeners only. Stay tuned for our exclusive offer that includes a free charcoal pore cleansing brush and free shipping. Proactive MD with prescription strength adapalene can heal and prevent future breakouts. Today, for just $19.95, we're offering listeners the three-piece Proactive MD system with free shipping, plus a free gift, the new charcoal pore cleansing brush. Get this exclusive offer by calling now, 1-800-583-8662, or go to proactive.com. And enter promo code radio. You heard right. Proactive MD plus free shipping and a free gift. The new charcoal pore cleansing brush. You'll get all this for just $19.95 and their 60-day money-back guarantee. You're guaranteed to get clear and stay clear, or you get your money back. Call now. 1-800-583-8662. That's 1-800-583-8662. Or go to proactive.com and enter promo code radio. Again, go to proactive.com and enter promo code radio.
Boy, what a great guest we have today here on the show on ATN. Mary Fatterin joins us, and she's the author of a book that's my favorite genre of book, contemporary romance. The book is The Lovable Resident. Mary, thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me. Very, very honored.
Let's talk about, and you know, some people, for kind of a shortcut, they call it chick lit. And my whole life, my mother, who was actually partially an academic, had such a love of chick lit or contemporary romance. And so I grew up with it, and I find it fascinating in pulling stories together and coming up with a novel and what the inspiration is. And what was the overall inspiration for you, and what made you write this book?
Well, that's a good question. This book was actually something that came out of an exercise from my creative writing class. We each had to pick out a starter type of an idea from this book that we had as a textbook. And we had to, for me, my assignment was to write about a man or a woman character who is a lovable character, but he does something really dastardly. And so I just spun this story and had the first chapter already written out, and I gave it to the people in my class and they all liked it. They liked the idea about Mike Oates, you know, being so wealthy and good looking and having any girl he ever wants. And, you know, he drove a really fast car, beautiful. I mean, everything about him was just ideal, you know. And yet he does something really, really dastardly. And somebody in my class had commented that, you know, we need this kind of person in school or college, you know. He's sort of like the big man on campus. So I thought that I was hitting a nerve as far as people really liking the idea and wanting to know what happens to him and how he deals with this thing that he's done. So there's a whole bunch of story plot twists, and, you know, that's how he started. I kind of modeled him after some people I might have known in the past, but basically it's fiction, so that's how it was. That's how it started.
And, you know, they talk about, too, when you write and writing this novel, you write about what you know about. So you talk about the hero, Mike Oates, the up-and-coming surgeon, a resident surgeon in a very well-known hospital. And your background as a writer, author, blogger, you got a PhD in pharmacology, so you know this area. You were a research scientist. This probably is a little bit comfortable for you, isn't it?
Well, yeah. I mean, well, you know, I'm a real, before I even went into grad school, I loved all those medical shows, you know, like Marcus Welby and ER and everybody like that. So, and I used to work at a hospital. I was a pharmacy tech for a couple of years. And, you know, when somebody would code, they would all rush into their room of the patient, you know, and they all try to resuscitate him and everything. And so there's a scene there that has that kind of detail. And so in pharmacology, I learned a lot about medicine, and I got to go to classes with some medical students, depending on, you know, what class it was. But I remember all those days when I basically was in science and research. So, and then I also worked at Yale for a couple of years. So I was sort of familiar with the place, and I used to live in New York, so I was familiar with New York. So I kind of took out a lot of the ambiance and the atmosphere of all the different scenes there from there. And then I also went from the Midwest, so Mike Oates is from the Midwest. So we all kind of got together and blended real well for the story.
And in putting the theme, the characters, their interactions together, was that a fun process?
Yes, it was. I like dialogue. I don't like straight dialogue. I like to give some kind of a nuance to what people are saying in a scene. I enjoy the interaction between my characters. I like to have characters that are strong and memorable, and they have a way of kind of making a truth come to life, you know, that kind of thing. So, Mike Oates gets involved with Lauren Moore, who's a very strong woman, and she's a lawyer, and she used to be a childhood friend. So there's a whole bunch of background between them, and yet somehow this whole problem that he has now, this very deep hole he gets himself into, he has to reach out for her to help him out. So I really enjoy that. I really enjoy putting together these dialogues and scenes.
And you can tell by reading the book, Mary Fatterin is with us, and her book is The Lovable Resident, and it is a contemporary romance. How long did it take you to pull the book together, Mary?
Well, about a year and a half, because there was sometimes when I really kind of had to put it away and deal with, you know, real life things like working 9 to 5 or, you know, dealing with other things like school, because I am going to graduate school at this time, and I have been since 2016. So I had to put it away for a while, and then I worked on it again, and then I finally found somebody who said that, you know, they'd like to publish it for me. And so that kind of gave me the push to really finish it. And I remember the day that I was writing most of the chapters that were going to be ending up, you know, I gave them the first half, and then I was working on the last half of the book, and I was really tired out. It was a marathon writing time, so, but that's how long it took. I mean, if you were to think about it, not all writers write every day, and for me, I don't write every day. I kind of let it sort of simmer through my mind and see where the plot might go, and I have like a little bit of an idea what it's going to be like and what the ending will be like, but I like to just kind of take a seat back and think about it a little bit.
So when once you finished it and it was all pulled together, what was that feeling like?
I really thought it was a great feeling. With my first novel, it was sort of hard for me to imagine that I would ever write a novel, and then here it was, it's been published. And, you know, I mean, I worked in, a lot of different areas of, work experience in my life and just started writing in 2015 or 2016 and for Sirius. And then I quit my job in August and became a full-time writer. So I really wanted to just make this work, and it was a very great feeling.
Yeah, and again, the story is fantastic, and the book is The Lovable Resident. It's contemporary romance. I think anybody can read this. Mary Thatterin is our guest, of course, and we're talking about pulling it together and the story. And did you ever get to a point while you were writing this? And I think it's kind of neat. I've had writer friends who have written more than I have, and they say that the character sometimes takes on its own direction. Did you feel like that was happening as you were developing the storylines?
Yes, actually. I just started to think that these characters had their own ideas about what they wanted to say. It seemed like that was happening. And, in fact, my professor at the graduate school that I'm attending, she has been very helpful about putting things there that giving me ideas about how to make the scene better and everything. But she told me, you know, why you have to ask yourself, why did you write this book now, and what are the characters trying to tell you? And that was the most interesting question she asked me, because it was almost like, you know, you have to actually listen to these characters when you start writing what they're saying and understand who they are. And, you know, there was another class I took, which was given by the Midwestern Writers Organization here in Indiana. But the woman who gave a little class online, she said that for each character, you have to have a through line, which is something that the acting profession has in what they do with their own character sketches. You have to give them a motivation. You have to give them a way to deal with what's going to happen to them. And I spent a lot of time writing about each character that was even to the most minute or minor character, you know. And I think it really helped a lot.
I love that. What's their motivation? That's perfect for everybody that's listening to us out there in this conversation about how do you pull it together and you go from a writing class to this. So how, Mary, where can people get your book? How do they get your book?
Well, there are Barnes & Noble and Amazon.com, and they're also available in booksellers and brick-and-mortar stores everywhere in the world. I believe my new publisher is actually, we launched it not too long ago, so it has a new cover. So I believe this is available everywhere.
Nice. All right, so pick it up. The Lovable Resident, Mary Thatterin, thank you so much for joining us on the show.
Thank you.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
If you or anyone you love has been diagnosed with lung cancer, asbestosis, or mesothelioma, your diagnosis may be the result of job-related exposure to asbestos, and you may be entitled to compensation. Over $30 billion in trusts have been set aside for individuals who have been affected by asbestos exposure. How do you protect your rights and get the compensation you deserve? Call Capital Legal Group now at 800-400-LUNG. Capital Legal Group is one of the nation's resources for settlement of lung cancer and mesothelioma cases. Law firms have successfully recovered over $2.7 billion for their clients in all 50 states, and claims have been paid in as little as 60 days. If you or a family member were diagnosed with lung cancer, asbestosis, or mesothelioma, call Capital Legal Group now at 800-400-LUNG. We'll open a no-cost case review on your behalf. A history of tobacco use or cigarette smoking will not disqualify your case. Visit 800-400-LUNG.com or call 800-400-LUNG. Call 800-400-5864 now. That's 800-400-LUNG.
You have been lied to. Generation after generation, time after time after time.
If you follow the money, then you understand why America's in the condition it's in.
Now, you created the Federal Reserve in 1913 through lies. You create 9/11. Through 9/11, you're fighting a war on terror. And now all of a sudden you go into Iraq, which was another lie.
This book will open people's eyes. Order now at KillingUncleSamBook.com. KillingUncleSamBook.com.
I tried other brands, but I came back to my sunshine.
For the best hot or cold pain relief, get the best. Get a Sunny Bay heating pad.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck, or back, or shoulder.
And the best relief for that pain is a Sunny Bay heating pad. Did you know that the American College of Physicians said that one of the best ways to treat muscle pain is heat therapy? Sunny Bay heating pads are handmade with high quality, can be used at home or at work, and have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy.
Why take another pill?
Many people use our Sunny Bay heating pads alone and got rid of the neck pain.
Long distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body.
Our homegrown small business tries to help people just like us. That's why we design and test our handmade products with great care before we introduce them to the public. You can easily find Sunny Bay heating pads on Amazon. Just go to Amazon.com and search for Sunny Bay heating pads.
Psychologist Dr. John Huber. You know, we talk about how we don't talk about mental illness enough in the United States, and finally we're starting to do that more. And on this show, anything I can do to shed a light on any aspect of it, I absolutely am available to do that, and I've told many, many people that. And today we're going to talk about anxiety, irritability, and the fact that that might be one of the first warning signs of depression in kids. Doc, thanks so much for coming on.
Well, Kate, thanks for having me on. I'm glad that you're doing this. This is what we need.
So talk about that. Why is that one of the first warning signs, and how can you tell?
Well, kids in general, you know, they can understand everything we say, but they're learning how to talk still. They don't have the kind of vocabulary that we have, and they don't understand their emotions, so it comes out in agitation. They know they don't feel right, so they pester other people and stimulate confrontation. And a lot of times it even shows up like they have attention deficit hyperactivity disorder.
Wow. So you have to, as a doctor, you have to try to differentiate between that. That's got to be tough sometimes, because there must be some similarities.
Oh, definitely similarities. You know, we're always looking for that irritability with depression anyhow, even in adults. But when kids can't vocalize what's going on, it's really hard.
So as a doctor, what do you do to try to pull that out of kids?
Well, you know, a lot of it has to do with the age and developmental maturity of kids. When I'm doing therapy with kids, if you walked in, you might be surprised to find me on the ground coloring on the floor with my patients and playing blocks and Lincoln Logs and trying to get them to express themselves in ways that is easier for them to do that.
Yeah, and that's a tried and true kind of therapy, isn't it?
Definitely, definitely. It's why when you're looking for a therapist for a child for this situation, you need to find somebody who actually has training and experience working with kids and adolescents.
So how can you tell, what are some of the warning signs that you might have a child at any age level that might be depressed?
Probably the big three are changes in sleep, changes in their appetite, and then that social withdrawal. They're just not playing with the friends they normally play with, or they isolate themselves completely.
Wow, so social withdrawal, changes in sleep, changes in appetite, definitely warning signs. What are some of the reasons why kids typically get depressed? Is it peer pressure? Is it something that's chemical? Is it a combination?
It's a combination. The same types of things that get adults depressed work with kids, too, only on their kind of a world. I mean, you have a young 5-6-year-old child, and their universe is the kitchen, the living room, and their bedroom. And all of a sudden, you put them into daycare or school, and now they've geometrically increased their world. And little things can cause stressors for them at that point that can overwhelm them.
Yeah, so what are some of the little things? Changes in the environment, because all of a sudden their world, like you mentioned, was the home, and now, boom, they're catapulted into a daycare where they've got other kids around them, activity, and having to try to meld into that and waiting to be picked up and whatnot.
Well, yes, and then they find their friend, and, you know, it's maybe their first friend outside of family, and all of a sudden a new player comes in, another child comes in, and he's having to share time, or she's having to share time with that person, and it's like, wait, they don't like me anymore, why do they have to have another friend? And they're not developmentally mature enough to comprehend that situation as adults are, or even adolescents in some level.
Yeah, makes sense. We're speaking with Dr. John Huber. He is a professor and teaches undergraduate and graduate psychology at Texas State University. So if a parent's in this situation, how can they help their kids who feel sad or seem like they're always sad?
Well, communication. That's the first step. Put your cell phone down, put the iPad down, get them off the iPad, get them off their cell phone, you know, if they've got one, and talk to them and start a conversation with them and find out what they're thinking and feeling as best they can express it.
Yeah, you're the chairman also, by the way, it's worth telling everybody this for sure, for Mainstream Mental Health, which is a nonprofit that brings positive change to the lives, that's the goal, to the lives of people who suffer from mental health issues. So what are some of the things that you've been able to do with Mainstream Mental Health?
Well, right now we're doing a lot of education and trying to get people to address the fact that every one of us has to deal with mental health issues at some point, whether it's ourselves or a family member. Looking at the U.S. data from the U.S. government, 1 in 5 of us meets the criteria for some sort of diagnosis. Unfortunately, only about 1 in 4 of those individuals actually get help. So we have to deal with it every day at work, when our families get together at holidays. And if we don't talk about it, we're not going to be able to deal with it successfully.
Yeah, and you heard me mention that at the top. I can't do enough to shine a light on that, because I see that, as you say, 1 in 5 and then maybe 1 in 4 get help. That is a staggering statistic. I have to tell you that, Doc. And why probably people don't get help is because maybe they don't have access, they don't know who to reach out to, they don't think they can afford it, or they don't want people to know. The not wanting people to know, I would think, would have to be pretty high on some people's lists.
Definitely the stigma associated with that. But what we need to realize is, you know, this is considered, you know, part of your health care records and stuff, so they're not going to actually know unless you come out and tell people. It's between you and your caretakers, your physicians, your psychologists, and your therapist and your family. So we should treat it like we would getting pneumonia or the cold.
I totally agree. And it seems to ratchet up, and I'm sure for kids as well, because that's where we started. When you talk about children and anxiety and irritability and all of that, it has to, I would assume, get maybe worse over the holidays. Does it?
Yes. I mean, think about it. You're getting ready to immerse yourself in the people who know you the best. And if you've got a sibling or a cousin who likes to tease you about something, they know all the right words. They know all the right buttons. And so it's not always a good thing to take a break from the school stressors or those social stressors that we have to deal with on a normal everyday situation.
Yeah, boy. I think it's wonderful what you're doing. Keep it up for sure. Dr. John Huber, again, trying to really raise an awareness, and check out mainstreammentalhealth.org. Thanks for being with us on America Tonight.
Thank you very much. I really do appreciate that, Kate.
Wow, so I think it's good. I think it's important. I really mean this. I've seen this with people I know. I have several friends who have come to me and have been dealing with something that they haven't told very many people about. And I think it's good to reach out to the people around you, like when you're not feeling right, and tell them, let them know, so that you can get help. And it's not a persistent thing that's gnawing away at you and eating at you and, you know, causing you problems. I'm very happy to say that we're starting to talk about this more, and I think it's super important, especially, you know, here we were talking a lot about kids and what were the warning signs, and it makes sense. All of a sudden you're in one place and you're foisted into school, and I can't even think back. I'm thinking back to what it was like when you, and many of you remember this, when you first went to school, and you could say, well, buck it up, but it's so different now. And I think the ability to see those signs and to help a child or grandchild or whoever it might be is so vital when they're younger. Because if you can nip this and work on it when somebody's younger, imagine how much healthier they would be as adults. And that's part of the problem, because of that what happens to you as you're young, what forms, what goes on when your children in those key years, 1 through really 6, and how you pull that into adulthood. So imagine if you're suffering from something like depression, and you're young and very young, and you have high anxiety and you have high irritability, but people slough it off as kids will be kids, and that's the way it is, and they're not paying attention to those signs. I think if you could pay attention to those signs at the younger age and have the ability to treat that, again, I'll say that, I think it makes the leap into adulthood a little bit different than when it goes unnoticed and kind of flies under the radar, if you will. So hopefully a lot of people were able to get something out of that. Go to mainstreammentalhealth.org.
If you know Kate Delaney, then you know that her lovable golden retriever, Mahalo, makes her world go around. So when Kate started looking for a high-quality dog food for him, she settled on Life's Abundance, the all-stage grain-free food. It's rated 5 stars by Dog Food Advisor, and that's a win. In fact, Kate loved the food so much that she's now repping the food at kateskibble.com. It's full of high-quality protein and nutrients, omega-3s and more. Kateskibble.com is just what Mahalo needs to be happy and healthy. Grab a bag at kateskibble.com.
Bacon lovers, we ship free. Try our amazing bacon. No refrigeration required. Proprietary value-added packaging provides 10-year shelf life and protects the leanest, thickest, center-cut, fully cooked bacon in America today. Ready to eat right from the pouch or warm and serve. Savory and delicious. Wholesale price for your everyday use. Order today at ReadyToEatBacon.com. ReadyToEatBacon.com.